So then we'll try to figure it out. So I wanted to talk about Bereshis and the beginning of Bereshis with Bereshis and about the past, but I just want to develop one aspect of it a little bit further. this is a kind of hakdama, I guess, to these Monday shiurim, in whatever form they end up taking, a certain common denominator. So all beginnings, of course, are significant. We talked about that in the past as well. Anytime you start with something monumental, so you're making a statement. And it's a statement that people pay close attention to. So the beginnings of significant things are always placed under magnifying glass. And the Torah, of course, is the biggest of all things, and it begins with Bereshis bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim, the Eis Haaretz. And of course, typically, that shouldn't pose any kind of problem. We're usually disturbed when things begin, in the middle, or they begin in an unanticipated way. So it's a little bit surprising to read the first Rashi, to find out that actually the beginning in the place that we would have expected it to be is actually a problem. Right. Of course, Rashi quotes Amrav Yitzchak, "Lahayatzar kahatchil satorah lemachodesh hazeh lachem shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzavu bo Yisrael." So, this idea that there was an alternative and a better one at that, a more compelling place to begin the Torah in Parshas Bo with Hakodesh hazeh lachem, is more than intriguing. And since today is also Rosh Chodesh. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. We're supposed to speak about it yesterday also. But, either way, moved it to today or to change it a little bit. So it's worthwhile zeroing in on both of these things. In other words, the Torah's choice, which at the end of the day was Bereshis, to understand, what was less than ideal about it to begin with, and im kvar az kvar, if, it really is not the best place to start, so then why did they choose that? And especially to understand what's the yichus, what's the special added, significance of HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, why would that be a better place to start? So really there are three questions that we're dealing with, but they're all intertwined, they're all interconnected. The point is that Rashi is seemingly somewhat difficult. And of course, the Ramban weighs in exactly on this issue, really on both, or at least the first two aspects of the three. The Ramban doesn't speak so much about Chodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, but he is troubled by Rashi's difficulty. He gives an interesting, answer, which I think is an important perspective. If Rashi's choice really is problematic, then why, why is the Ramban troubled by Rashi's, being troubled? So that's something I want to address also very quickly. Truth is that the Ramban, again, Ramban's questions are very basic here. Ramban asks, "V'yesh lishalba kitzorach gadol ulahatla torah bebereshis bara Elokim." That's the place to start. I'm not reading the rest of it yet because I'm going to want to make the point with it. One would have thought that Ramban's question was that you should begin with Bereshis because kishmo kein hu, right? The Bereshis is the beginning. So if we're talking about history and order, that's the place to begin. Moreover, if we're interested in inspiration, right, then there's nothing more inspirational and more, let's say, mysterious
more
inspiring, right, than beginning with Bereshis,
frankly.
Right? It's not only the natural beginning, because it's the beginning of history, but it's the most momentous thing that ever happened, or it's most momentous event, right? Still, in our time, everybody is still trying to figure out, you know, how the world came into being. You know all the different, you know, positions, and people are constantly, you know, in a state of frenzy and study, you know, astronomy and, you know, all the evidence, you know, from the galaxy. Again, Joey will fill us in at the right time. But this mysterious, awesome event seems like a good place to start. But the unanticipated controversy, you know, kind of gives us pause. And if we look carefully at the Ramban doesn't suggest that the reason to begin Bereshis is because it's the beginning, or because it's per se, you know, a mysterious and inspirational event. Actually, he himself says something a little bit different. He zeroes in on the theological and philosophical significance of it. Ki shoresh godol hu lahatkal haTorah b'Bereshis bar Elokim, ki hu shoresh ho'emuna. And then he gives his answer, which I'll get to in just a second. So the truth is that it's popular. I'm not going to document the popularity, but I've seen, you know, people make a comment over the years, and it's an interesting comment. You know, to see the different perspectives of Rashi and Ramban, you know, projected as like a common argument or a common issue that divides Chachmei Ashkenaz and Chachmei Svarad, right? The standard, let's say, historiography or historiosophy, you know, out there is, and I think there is a lot of truth to it, but I think, like most things, it's a little bit too extreme and exaggerated and mutually exclusive. Is that, you know, the Chachmei Ashkenaz kind of believed in a Torah-only approach and in a very halacho-centric, you know, perspective about Yadus, whereas the Chachmei Svarad, you know, were, you know, more open to other cultures, you know, and had a broader view in terms of which material, you know, is relevant, even indispensable, you know, to an Oved Hashem. Largely speaking, there is truth to that. In recent years, that has, you know, even by historians, been amended a little bit in both directions, meaning the gap isn't quite as great as people think. There is, you know, more, let's call it, machshava, or broader interest in the world of Ashkenaz, especially Hasidic Ashkenaz. There's, like, you know, some interesting material that they found in the Baalei Tosfos al HaTorah. Again, mostly Hasidic Ashkenaz type material, theosophic material, not so much philosophic material. So that's been amended a little bit. And this, like, you know, notion of like an unequivocal, you know, or unqualified, not unqualified, that's too strong a word, but at least a very, you know, open posture by Chachmei Svarad has also been, you know, somewhat qualified by, you know, historians, intellectual Jewish historians, you know, in the last, you know, couple of decades. After all, there's a lot of, you know, criticism along with the, you know, cultural affinity that is also expressed in a lot of the works. Having said that, it is true that, you know, if you're talking about the Ibn Ezra, and we're talking about the Ramban, and certainly the Rambam, and we're talking about Muslim Spain, the Chachamim of Muslim Spain and of Christian Spain, and, of course, you know, Provence is somewhere, as it always is, geographically and culturally in between, you know, relative to Chachmei Ashkenaz, talking about Rashi and you know, the, you know, again, the Baalei Tosfos and the school of, you know, Maram Rutenberg and the Or Zeruah and so on and so forth, Mordechai. Largely, it is true, you know, that mostly the Ashkenaz-Tzorfat, you know, axis, you know, is almost exclusively produced, you know, Hiddushei Torah, Perushim, and Baalei Tosfos, and Psakim. You know, we don't have some of the, you know, we don't have Mordevuchims, and we don't have, you know, Kuzaris, We don't have what we have in the world of the Gaonim. Mostly we don't have letters or other information, that reflects, interests in science or, again, in the local culture. Largely speaking, that is true. But again, it's somewhat overstated, in both directions. But people perceive this discussion between Rashi and the Ramban, in that light. They suggest that Rashi is halachocentric in his nature. In other words, we should start with Parshas Bo because, Torah is a safer halacha. The Sefer Chachamim says that part of it. The Maral says this as well. Afagav de'in sipur echad batorah shelo l'tzor aryeh shelo l'tzorech afilo achos lo tan timna. Right? Achar sheshem Torah eina nofel ela mitzvah z'Torah shei loshen Torah hu loshen hora l'fikach davka Torah smoshe nikra Torah. Right? V'chein pirush haradak. He has a very fascinating line, the Gur Aryeh. Tedalach sharei sefer Iyov Shagam ken kusva Moshe Rabbeinu kenisa Balbasra. The view of the Gemara in Balbasra in Dalad that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Iyov, the ilu haya nichta b'tora sefer Iyov haya asur likros ba'osa sefer Torah b'tzibur. I think that's very interesting. I think there could be many other explanations of why that is true, but the Gur Aryeh thinks that is a proof positive, even though you have the same author. In one case, you have Chafsa Shel Torah. In another case, you have, other very important, Kisei HaKodesh, but it's not Torah, it's not Horah, it's not Mitzvos. And consequently, if you put the two together, you would passel the Torah part by diluting it with the Eo part. Again, there might be, other explanations that, so, but it's a very interesting line. In any case, he says, Lekach Makshe, for this reason, Rashi, was bothered, and that's why he. second, Makshe lo yitzarich v'chule. Okay. Then the question, of course, arises: if Rashi's issue is halachocentrism, so then what's the answer? Because the answer is, koch masa v'igiliamo, to establish the right that we have. To Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the idea that Bo is the right place to begin the Torah, if it's based on halachocentrism, then what do you do with the answer Eretz Yisrael? So the Maral suggests, Mi'in Tomar asks this question: Da Kati Kasha, Da Ma'in in the Sinas Eretz Yisrael, Eitzel Mitzvah Satorah, right? The Ein Zek Kasha, the Pnei Sherov Mitzvah Satorah Tluyos Ba'aretz. Sharei Trumas Maestro, Sabinim Beis Abachira, Be'eretz Tola, etc. So that, of course, is an interesting answer, Lishitaso, that he understands the problem is halachocentrism. He's basically saying, halachocentrism is served by Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael isn't just where we live. It's not a political or even an isolated, mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. It affects the performance of other mitzvahs. Moshe Lamad Avardome reminds us a little bit of the comment of Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosis and Ksubas Daf Kofyud, where he discusses whether or not, Bismaneinu, there's a requirement of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshiva Aretz. And he says, it really should depend whether or not Mitzvah Tlius Baretz are applicable in Torah Bisman Hazeh or not. In other words, he identifies the value of Eretz Yisrael, at least with regard to that particular issue, with the ability, with the capacity to perform X amount of more mitzvahs. I think if you're already going to go that route, then you might want to say two other things as well. One is that it isn't the addition, of X amount of mitzvahs atzliyas ba'aretz or others alone, that's important. Maybe it is that, at least from a geographic point of view, Eretz Yisrael completes and therefore establishes, right, the integrity of and the or the holistic, more than the sum of its parts, aspect or dimension of mitzvahs. This is a, you know, of course, a very critical idea. Monad mitzvot suggests that, you know, mitzvot are, you know, the esed and the lavin, at least one of the schemes, you know, ramach and shasa, are keneged, you know, evare ha'adam and, you know, gidin and so on. So that's, you know, possibly just a mnemonic device. But it's very suggestive. It's suggestive of a kind of homeostasis, which I think by definition, again, it seems like there are no medical people here because we couldn't find out yesterday whether clones are sterile or not. But homeostasis is something which, you know, I think biologically reflects, you know, a notion of the whole being more than the sum of its parts, essentially, meaning that the izun, the balance, the integration, you know, when you, if you're missing an aver, I think, there, you know, there's some avarim shel adam that we still aren't sure fully what they do, you know, fully or at all. But, you know, the more we learn in science, the more we learn that, you know, there really is no superfluous, you know, biology or redundant biology. You know, it's a backup system or it's a controlling system that integrates with something else. It secretes something. It, you know, it, it, you know, it, it keeps the balance of the, you know, the T cells and the, you know, and the, and the, and you know, and the balance of, you know, growth and destruction in the cycle of the body. And again, I don't want to get too carried away with it. I don't really know what I'm talking about anyway. You know, I'm a layman and I admit it. But it's all fascinating. But the point is that if the mitzvot haTorah represent ramach and shasa, it's a way of saying that, you know, to lead a full, holistic, you know, spiritually meaningful life, right? You know, you can't just have some. You know, you have to be committed to at least, you know, the totality of the system. You know, if a ger, you know, is enthusiastic and sincere and he wants to be mizgayer, you know, and he's mekabel all of the old mitzvos, you know, with the exception of one. Again, this is an interesting question. There's a debate and a very critical halacha l'maisa, a critical debate, but also conceptually critical debate, meaning the ger cannot exclude even one mitzvah from his kabbalah mitzvah. By that we mean in his intent to actually implement, or we mean in principle. I mean, he can't say, I'm not mekabel, you know, this one, you know, I'm willing to go with the six, I'm not talking about avodah zarah or Shabbos or, you know, rotzeach. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what I'm talking about because it'll be mean to some mitzvah, some poor mitzvah that I single out. You know. I'm not going to do that. The point is that if, you know, certainly on a merit and ikaron level, if he says I'm you know, I'm all in, right? Is that what we say these days? I'm all in on the taryag, you know, mitzvahs, and then you say taryag. He goes, no, sorry, you know, that's it's either too much, or, you know, that's the one, or that's the one I can't go for that one, right? So it's not just that, you know, we have high standards. The point is that he's not committed to Torah, because the system is an integrated system. It's both a merit thing and a bilus thing, you know, and it's a holistic, you know, it's a game changer. Do we say that also now? Game changer, kind of a thing, right? So of course, I mean, you know, things like avodah zarah and to a lesser extent Shabbos are linchpin. You know, din, meaning the Gemara says in a bunch of places, you know, that if you are mekayim every single mitzvah not Torah, but you know you're over avodah zarah, it's ki'ilo you're not mekayim any mitzvah not Torah, right? And if you're careful about avodah zarah, it's as if you're mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah. What does that really mean? So you just have to either observe or not observe, you know, avodah zarah. What they mean is it's a linchpin, meaning, you know, without avodah zarah, it's not yados. You know, you could say, but I'm all in, you know, the other taryav. Then says that is a mitzvah satorah because of avodah zarah plays that kind of a role. And who adin possibly Shabbos? I'm sorry, mechalas a Shabbos, you know, is a mumra lechol Torah kula. Again, it's either the chomer adavar per se, the role that it plays, or the controlling and integrating, you know, the impact that it has on the rest. It's a contextual thing. It's not Judaism anymore without it. Okay. But on another level, you know, at least in the context of Geirus, and on a certainly ideological level, we say that about all Targum mitzvahs. Meaning the package is more than the sum of its parts, and therefore it is necessary, and it's anti-definitional, you know, to say, you know, I'm not into, you know, to number 613, whichever it is. That's not to say, that's the difference between linchpin mitzvahs and other mitzvahs. Again, you know, ein tzadik ba'olam, you know, everybody is in violation of something. Some people are serially, you know, in violation of certain particular mitzvahs. But that's different than being moreid bahem, or denying them. Again, it's only in the context of Geirus, where, you know, it's a question of crossing over the Rubicon, you know, and attaining a new identity, you know, that we can use that as a litmus test. As somebody who's born in and who has Kedushas Yisrael, we could say that, you know, it's an egregious serial violation, but we just don't look at it the same. Because he's not, his identity is right now, you know, not up for grab. He doesn't have to assume, you know, the identity. Anyway, I'm just trying to explain. But the point I'm trying to make is, for that reason, we find in certain contexts, sensitive contexts, like Geirus, but also in some other contexts, like the, I think I mentioned this, the Shalah, and others, I'll ask, like, you know, if Taryag Mitzvos are necessary, and they're Keneged, Eivarim, and Gidim, you know, and again, that's one of my koros, and that isn't just, you know, a melitza or a mnemonic device, but it implies, you know, that the, you know, the totality is important, and certainly it's more than some of its part. How does any individual, you know, live a homeostasis, you know, suffused life? There's no single person, maybe, or most single people, as committed as they are, that can accomplish all Taryag mitzvahs, right? Not everybody's a kohen. Right, not everybody's a male, not everybody's a female, right? There are certain things that only, you know, there are conditions, you know, that can exist for long periods of time. You know, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So how, what, in those eras and those people, you know, without, you know, onus, are living compromised lives. So I think the Shalal's answer is, you know, Klal Yisrael, it's the unit, it's Klal Yisrael. I think you have to add further. You know, it's Klal Yisrael, you know, Ledore Dora, where we're, you know, we're connected. These are important principles, right? We're connected to Klal Yisrael and the collective Tzibur. Tzibur is also more than the sum of its parts, right? In every generation. And the Tzibur is a concept that transcends, you know, any particular. Say, well, that doesn't help us now, it'll help us Bizman HaMikdash. It'll help us to, you know, to get to mitzvahs kahuna and other opportunities, but it's not going to help us necessarily in the 21st. We're in the 21st now, right? Century. So, you know, the answer is being connected to the tzibur. Shalom doesn't say it sometimes. Being connected to the collectivity of the tzibur is by definition esa sheyesh apo the esa sherinen. Right? It's attachment to Klal Yisrael the Dori Doros. Anyways, so that's the idea. And I'm trying to suggest that even if we go along with the Maral, that Eretz Yisrael compensates, you know, for a loss of emphasis in halachocentrism by virtue of mitzvahs atlias ba'aretz, it isn't just the mitzvahs atlias ba'aretz. It is the mitzvahs atlias ba'aretz as something, you know, that completes, let's say, you know, that establishes, you know, the totality. And I think of that as a critical aspect. Moreover, the mitzvahs of Tulias Ba'aretz, you know, do something else. And that is they connect, you know, to the Tzibur. I'll get back to it in a minute. And possibly, they also connect to, you know, to the role, the special role that Klal Yisrael is envisioned having. So that more, let's say, unmediated or direct, you know, kesher or bond with the Rabbanu Shel Olam, which it was probably connected to, you know, to the license that they have, the responsibility and expectation, you know, that they live you know, in a certain way, you know, and be kind of ambassadors of a way of life. So we'll discuss that in just a minute. Either way, the Maral, interestingly, you know, also connects it to the Ramban Lashitaso. Not what the Ramban says here, necessarily, but what he says elsewhere. He adds, Ramban Kasav, Gamken, Shekometz, Shebetor, Mishpate, Party says here, Party says later, Mishpate Elokei Yisrael, Kamer, Shekometz, Shebetora, Him Sheyachim Dafka Ba'aretz. Chen Kasav, Besefer Malachim, Kishagol Yisrael, Ve'yeshvu, Goyim Ba'aretz, Velo Yodu Mishpat Elokei Ha'aretz, Yishalach Bam, Hashem Arayos, etc. Nimsa Torah, He Mishpat Elokei Ha'aretz, and then he says, Ayin Divir Ramban, Parshas Toldos, on the pasuk of Vayishmor Mishmarti, that's Chabav, hey. So he's kind of expanding, you know, the based on the Rambans elsewhere, in addition to the quantitative Shmiras HaMitzvos, and I was suggesting the quality that, you know, critically comes as a result of expanding the quantity. What he's saying is that there's a perspective which is consistent with halachocentrism, which the Ramban himself, ironically, or not ironically, develops throughout his Perush al Torah, and by the way, in other places too, in the beginning of Gittin, in the beginning of Megillah, in a bunch of plays, about Azara, right? And that is the idea that Eretz Yisrael plays not just a place for mitzvah tlius ba'aretz, in sharp contrast, Maya edition, to Reb Chaim Cohen, who says that the obligation of Yishuv Haaretz Bizmanenu, you know, depends on whether or not you have the ability or the chiyuv or both of implementing mitzvahs of Tlius Baaretz. As we know, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, in a very impassioned piece, and a piece that is totally consistent, again, with his writings in the Chidushim and his writings Ala Torah and his writings, you know, in some of his other essays and works, explains that Yishuv Haaretz, it has nothing to do with mitzvah satulias parts, but that it is a again a perspective on Hashem being Elokei Haaretz, again connected to this relationship of Kichelak Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachal Aso, that you know, the Ramban also uses to explain the Sifrei in Parshas Ekev, which implies that you know, Chinuch is the reason, you know, that you're obligated even in mitzvos, you know, Chovas Haguf and Chutz Laaretz, and Ramban, you know, says that, you know, that seems to be connected to the idea of Hashem being Elokei Haaretz. So again, I don't think they mean it in a technical sense. Not just like, you know, a Doraisa, you know, Gezeira, Shelo Tishkach, probably means much more than that. But the idea that, the way I understand it, both the Sifrei and Ekev and the Ramban, is that there is an added dimension, in addition to everything we just said before, which is there are more quantitative mitzvos. Is the completion of the totality of the mitzvos, which changes the perspective. Number three, it's closely connected to three, the concept of Elokei Haaretz also determines that every mitzvah that you do in the context of Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah with an added dimension. And that, too, you know, fills out the holistic, you know, totality aspect. Meaning, mitzvahs that you do, even Chovas HaGuf in Eretz Yisrael, because I would say they're connected to the wider group and Elokei Haaretz. I don't think these are, you know, separate points. I think they're connected, but I think it's a separate, it's an additional idea that needs to be articulated. End up also being an expression, right, of a more idealistic venue, and certainly also a tzibur motif, or even an individual and personal mitzvahs. So in that respect, halachocentrism is a very big part of the equation. Yeah. Okay. So that is one perspective. On the other hand, I think that it's possible, right, to qualify this analysis without changing it so much in two ways. Number one, to note that the Ramban here is not just pushing you know, the beginning of history, or even, you know, the scientific significance, and even even religious inspirational significance, frankly, of Bereishis. What he's really focusing on as he himself clearly says, is the emuna aspect, the hashkafa aspect of Bereishis. Kitzora godol ha'atchal ha'torah b'Bereishis bar lokim, ki shoresh ha'emuna. V'she'eno ma'amin b'zeh v'choshev she'olem kadmon, u'kofer b'ikar v'ein lo torah klal. Them is harsh words, or strong words, right? Ein lo torah klal. And yesh me'ayin is a klal, it's an ikaron, it's an ikar emuna that you kofer b'ikar for. It's not on the Rambam's list to be kofer b'ikar. Moreover, the Rambam has a famous comment which drew a lot of criticism, similar to the comment that we talked about in, you know, Ayin, Takasayin, and Chovel, where the Rambam says, basically, again, to make it clear, the Rambam unequivocally concludes, at least what he says, that, you know, he believes in Yesh Me'ayin. Again, the Straussians, you know, the contrarian readers of the Rambam, I think I mentioned them in the past, probably not so warmly, but they say, oh, the Rambam says that he believes in Yesh Me'ayin, so that proves that he doesn't, right? It's, you know, one of his obfuscations. Okay. And if you look so carefully how he doesn't really prove it, the hints are just unmistakable. Okay. But we're going with the view that the Rambam, you know, we're taking him at his word. Even though he does say that sometimes he camouflages things. But we're not assuming that he camouflages everything. He definitely believes in Yesh Me'ayin. But the Rambam did make the comment, and this is what the others depend on, which said that if I was philosophically, you know, convinced of Yesh Me'ayin, then I would reread the Psukim in Bereishis. Okay. Now, like other statements of the Moreh Nebuchim, you know, that are misunderstood, you know, this is an example of it. The Rambam never said that if I was philosophically convinced, you know, of Yesh Me'ayin, you know, and not Yesh Me'ayin, then I would reject the Psukim in Bereishis. He never said that Chalila, never said anything close to it. Right? He makes it perfectly clear that if the only way to read Bereishis was to conclude Yesh Me'ayin, then that would have overridden, you know, his philosophical conclusion. And that, of course, is totally consistent with the Rambam's Hakdama in Moreh Nebuchim, where he speaks about, you know, man's rationality being something which is, you know, very powerful, but also has its limitations. So what the Rambam did say was, you know, there's a gray area. There are two ways to read the Psukim in Bereishis. There's the default, more likely way, you know, which is partly literal or mostly literal. Or, you know, there's the outside chance that there's also a symbolic way. And in assessing whether or not, you know, we should read it the more dochak yet possible way or not, like anything else we've said many, many times here, right? The best pshat is a function of, you know, what is plausible, right? And if it was implausible philosophically to read the psukim in a more straightforward way, then we would conclude that the right pshat is to read it in a more, you know, allegorical way. That's what the Rambam meant. He didn't mean anything more than that. But it's still a big statement. And it's a statement which implies that for the Rambam, Yesh Me'ayin is certainly not an ikar ha'emuna, even though he believes it to be true. It sounds like, theologically, we would be okay, not only in reading the psukim, but also in Yahadus, if Yesh Me'ayin. The Ramban's view that Yesh Me'ayin is a kofer be'ikar, kind of a shorash emuna, kofer be'ikar, ve'ein lo Torah klal, is very far-reaching. Again, almost all the Mefarshim agree with him that that is what happened. But for the Ramban, of course, it's also embedded in the Psukim. That's the difference between Bria and Yetzirah. That's also part of the Ramban's Perush al Torah. But it seems like the Ramban thinks that Yesh Me'ayin isn't just a description, you know, of that, you know, first moment of creation, the Big Bang, whatever you want to call it. But rather, for him, it has moral and theological implications. The Maral zeroes in on one of them, and that is, you know, Nisim. But again, the Maral understands it in a very narrow way, and that's why he asks it. The Hikshar Amban, the Maikashal of Yitzchak, Shim Lo Kasav Zebatari Ha'ola Aldash Sha'olam Kadmon, Labar Kardish Baruch Hu Klal Ha'olam Yeshmi Ayinu, Misha Yamin Sha'olam Kadmon, Kamosha Yamin Aristo, Aristotle, Kala Nisim Shem Bishinu Ha'olam Shabo Batara Him Nimnaim, Ve'in Lo Torah Klal. That's what the Rabban says. That's how the Maral, that's why I'm bringing this, you know, interpolates and interprets the Ramban. It has to do with Nisim and the credibility of Nisim. Okay. And then he says, Ve'ein Zakasha, She'ein Briyas Ha'olam Raya La Nisim, Shechidach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adraba, HaNisim Shechidach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Raya Briyas Ha'olam, Shechidach HaNisim, Re'inu Be'inenu, actually playing off of other Rambans, namely the Yichud of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to Briyas Ha'olam. And, you know, from Nisim and from Yetzias Mitzrayim, Nishma, Briyas Ha'olam, that's how the Ramban, for example, explains Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis and Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim in Shabbos. Right? He says, the Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim proves, you know, Briyas Ha'olam. And he has this idea in other places. Of course, Anokha Hashem Elokecha, Sherot Seisicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, which the Maral goes, quote, V'chein B'peirush, Omer HaKasuv, Anokha Hashem Elokecha, Sherot Seisicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Ilo Anokha Hashem Barasi Shemayim V'eretz L'Amar. And of course, he refers to the Ibn Ezra and Yisro, but they also refer to the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, right, where he explains, and again, Ibn Ezra talks about, you know, the quotes the Kuzari, and he talks about Oshmeh, Teshmeh, Gedolah, Meri'iyah. The Ramban actually says that there are aspects of Yetzias Mitzrayim which are not the same as Briyas Ha'olam. Number one, we know of Briyas Ha'olam, or it's reinforced by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number two, the elements of Hashkacha, right, which have nothing to do with Briyas Ha'olam, are underscored by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Anyways, so the Maral understands the Ramban's comment in their way. I think that one should understand the Ramban's comment in a much broader way. And that is, along the lines of Rav Shamshon Nafal Hirsch, you know, who is very into this theme. Again, I haven't seen it for a while, so I don't remember if he quotes this part of the Ramban's issue. I don't think it projects this on the Ramban. But Rav Hirsch just points out, and I think this is what Ramban really has in mind, and that is that, the Maral part is half the story. If you believe that Yesh Meyesh, and not Yesh Meayin. So basically, you are affirming a kind of very mechanistic, you're likely affirming a very mechanistic world. Right? A world which is run by nature, which is governed by other forces, which, you know, is maybe initiated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? But that basically doesn't allow for change. If it doesn't allow for change, it also doesn't allow so much for choice, for creativity, right, for moral accountability and responsibility. Because basically, it's almost like I don't think our first goes this far, you know, it's almost like an Amalek ideology. You know, Ha'olam Nikra Nikra. You know, either it runs by nature or by coincidence. But basically, you know, again, Midibracious Nishma, you know, Lachabre, that first moment which sets the tone, you know, if there already is matter in place, and it's just a question of, you know, developing it, you know, then Ein Chadash Tachas Hashamash and Hevel Havalim Makol Haba. My tradition, I think, this is really what he kind of get at. Rav Hirsch really develops the theme that Yesh Me'ayin, you know, is critical to Schar Ba'onesh, to the Chiyuv Le'idamos, you know, and if, whatever he doesn't, I'm just adding, I think is implicit in the Ramban as well. So it's true, we might have known Nisim, but maybe Nisim would have been impossible. Even Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything, if it's all part of the preordained, you know, history, or it's all there, there's no, you know, divine initiative, that just affects how we look at our existence and our goals and everything else. So again, the Rambam may have disagreed. The Rambam may have felt that, in theory, Yesh Me'yesh or Yesh Me'ayin is a, you know, a question about, you know, history, And maybe it is also a question about the role of nature. The Rambam in general was much more comfortable with the notion of a very strong natural fabric of the world. It didn't seem to disrupt his perspective either on Nisim or Hashgacha, right, or creativity or moral accountability. Right? As we know, the Rambam has a very strong view, you know, that that there is a fabric of nature which can be disrupted, but is the default. The Ramban, l'shita so, you know, in Va'era and other places, is strongly of the opinion that what looks like nature, and again, there's some discussion, because there are different passages, the Ramban in different places, in Sharik Mul and other things, you know, in some places it sounds like the Ramban also acknowledges a nature. Even in Parshas Va'era and so on, the Ramban acknowledges the perception of a nature, but basically the Ramban thinks it's all propped up by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that it's important to understand that, you know, there's a nes nistar in creation, you know, as well. I believe that that goes into not just nisim in the narrow way, to the idea that yesh me'ayin is shoresh ramuna, v'she'enu ma'amin zeh v'choshev sholem kadman is kofer be'ikar, v'ein lo Torah klal. Okay, so that's the solution. Why then doesn't it begin with that? So the Ramban says, this is also fascinating, Atshuva is m'dei shemaisa breishis sod amok, eina muvan min amikra'os, v'lo yivada al burio, ela mipia kabbala ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipia gvur. All this, yesh me'ayin and all of that, and all the details are very important. Again, not as history, not as science, not as independent inspiration, but as theology and morality, you know, and an ikar, emuna of Torah. But he says, you don't really apprehend all of that from these few psukim in Bereishis. And therefore, you know, from that perspective, it would have been better to start with Eretz Yisrael. L'kachom Rabbi Yitzchak, shein la'atcholas ha-Torah, tzorach b'Bereishis bara, v'asipar b'meshon iver b'yom rishon u'b'meshon na. It's not there for Bereishis alone, it's the whole history, the geirush, the eviction from Gan Eden, all of which shows that man, you know, is judged harshly precisely because he has the potential for greatness. And the more his environment is conducive to greatness, essentially what Ramban says, right, the more expectation, right, generates obligations, and that backfires when he doesn't meet those obligations. So the Geirush from Gan Eden, in the most perfect context that there could have been, right, all of that is the Musar Haskel of Bereishis, not the theology. B'yaminu b'klal b'nizkar b'aser sadibros, k'sheis tamim atzor Hashem, and so on. V'nosir Rabbi Yitzchak tam lezeh ki yitchila Torah b'Bereishis bar Elokim, v'sipur kol ma inyan ha'yitzira ad b'riyas ha'adam, v'shem shiluhu b'maisa yadav, v'kol shos tachas raglav, the Gan Eden shu mivkar mekomos anivroim b'olam hazeh nasa mochon l'shivto ad shegirash oso cheto bisham v'an shidor amabo b'chetam gur shu min olam kula v'atzadik bohem levado nimla tuubana v'zaram chetam chetam rather goram lehem lafitzam v'mekomos ulzarosam v'aratzos v'tofsulam ha'mekomos l'mishpechosam v'goyeyem k'fishen izdamein lehem im kein ra'uyu kasher yosif ha'goy lachto sheyoved mimekomo. That Knan was mekulkal, especially not deserving. So basically, the Torah begins not a din in Eretz Yisrael alone, although it's also a din in Eretz Yisrael probably, with the notion of man's potential, right, and the expectations that that creates, right, imposing upon him obligations and consequences. That's the beginning of the Torah. The Torah begins with morality, with skarva onesh. And with Achrayus. Oh. So, the time's almost up. So let me get back to this for a second. So that is the that's a different take on the Ramban. I think that one could have a different take on Rashi as well. Is Rashi just about halachocentrism? And if so, okay, how does Eretz Yisrael help? We talked about that, and especially in light of the Ramban, ironically, and so on. But I think that there are two other dimensions to Hachodes HaZelachem, right, which qualify them to be the beginning of the Torah, and in light of which we need to look at Eretz Yisrael as well. One is the notion of Tzibur itself. Achodesh Hazelachem is the first mitzvah that is given to the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. So basically, within the world of halacho centrism, right, the question is, do you want to, where do you begin? And if you believe that the tzibur isn't just an enhancement of the yachid, but it's the ideal, so then the point is that's the beginning point. How do you solve that, with Eretz Yisrael? Because, we're not solving it just so we have another pressing need. But it would be better if it was an internal solution. And the answer, of course, is obvious, and that is that Eretz Yisrael's status, and I was suggesting that is part of the Sifrei Nekev and some of the other elements, is precisely as the place in which the collectivity of Klal Yisrael is manifest. Right? That's why there are certain mitzvos that are connected to Eretz Yisrael, have nothing to do with the ground. The mitzvos that the Rav used to call mitzvos of Shem Eretz Yisrael, not of Kedushas Karka, Shel Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Chodesh, and Egla Rufa, and Smicha, and Nevua, maybe of Kvura, the things that have to do with what I call the national headquarters of the Jewish people, aspect of Eretz Yisrael. So basically, we should have started with Achodesh HaZelachem. But, without Eretz Yisrael, Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, Shichron Sidrin Vashel Shalom, I don't mean just technically, there wouldn't be a Kodesh HaZelachem. It means that the foundation, the framework, is first provided by Eretz Yisrael. But I think that there's another element, too, and that particularly has to do with Rosh Chodesh. And that is that a Kodesh HaZelachem establishes that Klal Yisrael's relationship to Ribono Shel Olam is not just that of a passive recipient. But that the, l'avdo l'shamra, again, the Netziv has this ha'ara I've mentioned in the past, that if you look at the beginning of the Pesukim in Bereishis, so, man is created, and he's vayinicheyu began Eden. And then two, three Pesukim later, it's, vayinicheyu began Eden, right, l'avdo l'shamra. So the Netziv says, because there were, originally, Ribono Shel Olam was going to make man just, lihonos miziv ha'shechina. Just to be and to kind of bask in his presence. And then the decision was made, no, let's give him something to do in the world. Well, Abdul Hashem. I like to think that it's not a change of heart, but that this is a two-step process. I think we have this a lot in Psukim and in Chazal's understanding, meaning first, the Pasuk registers what the kiyum is, what the goal is. And then we're told, but what is the Maisa, like the Rav used to say, how do you accomplish the goal? La'avdo l'shamra is the way in which you have, Klal Yisrael in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. Anyways, the point is that, certainly the initial, but already partially attenuated by la'avdo l'shamra, is to make man a partner in the world. But more than just a partner in the world, the chiddush of Torah life is that man is a partner right in the halachic universe and world as well. And that is captured, particularly by the theme of Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh HaZelachem, and the idea of, afilu, shogigin, afilu mezidin, right? The idea that Klal Yisrael, the Kadesh Yisrael, v'hazmanim, in a way it's, do we start with Shabbos or Yetzias Mitzrayim? Do we start with individuals, or do we start with the tzibur? Do we start with man appreciating passively what the Ribono Shel Olam did? Kibo Shavas Mikol Malachto Asher Baro Lekim La'asot Bereishis Baro Elokim. Or do we start with man's partnership, junior partnership, with Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. And in light of that, then, you know, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, or Yom HaShishi, referring to the sixth day of Sivan, Gilui Shechina and Maimon Har Sinai and Matan Torah, takes on a whole different meaning. Because it isn't, again, just the passive reception of, but it is the, you know, being co-opted as a partner into this process. Every member of Klal Yisrael, says the Amshel Shlomo in his Akdama to Bava Kama, you know, received the Torah according to his own personality and own capabilities in a slightly different fashion than everyone else. That's the makor for Shivim Panim LaTorah or Elam Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, because every person was a participant in the reception. And as we said in the past, also, Chag HaShavuos is a time of Lachem according to the Gemara Pesachim, Psalm HaChesed Beis, because it's Yom Shenit in the Torah. That's counterintuitive, but what it means is that as, you know, being invested with the opportunity and the responsibility, right, to, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh is much bigger than Torah Shebitzav. It's entrusted to Klal Yisrael, essentially, with all the possibility of mistakes and maybe even, you know, the challenges of transmission. But it had to be that way, because Lo Bashamayim, right, Torah Hashem, Temima. All of those elements, what the Aruch HaShulchan says, is the pshat of, you know, Ilu Nosan Lanu Asa Torah, right, you know, Ilu, I'm sorry, Kervanu Fnear Sinai Velu Nosan Lanu Asa Torah, Aruch HaShulchan says, it means Lo Bashamayim. If we hadn't been deputized, you know, to be a part of the process, when properly pursued, that would have been enough. That would have been a passive, you know, Torah life. But it wasn't. And therefore, what we're being told is that the Torah should have begun with Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, because that establishes not only halachocentrism, but a particular kind of halachocentrism. In the end, without Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't exist, because Eretz Yisrael also requires our participation. Right? Bias Kulchem is a sine qua non for Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha itself. And Kichelak Hashem Amo, and Velosaki Lahem Asa'aretz, the interrelationship between our behavior and our status in Eretz Yisrael, all these highlight precisely this perspective. So the beginning of Bereshis, what would have been, what could have been, what was, all of it ends up connecting and deepening our appreciation of the Torah. So we can appreciate, you know, that it begins in the right place, and it's our task, you know, again, to appreciate it, to immerse ourselves into it, to immerse ourselves into the limud in a way which reflects HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, and the value of Eretz Yisrael, and the initiative of the Torah.